There is a refrain that is repeated over and over in the Bible. We heard it in last week's readings. Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We hear it again in today's psalm. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And the verse that comes after where we stopped reading continues and says, the Lord is good to all, and God's compassion is over all that God has made. And we hear Jonah accusing God. This is why I left Tarshish in the beginning, for I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. God's character is repeatedly defined by words like grace, mercy, compassion, and steadfast love. What do these words mean? What do these qualities look like? You may have seen this definition of grace and mercy. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve, and mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. This is how we experience grace and mercy. From where we sit, grace is that undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor. While mercy is not getting what we deserve, and so we're able to reduce or avoid the negative consequences of our actions. But what is grace and mercy from God's perspective? A word that might help us better understand grace as a characteristic of God might be goodwill. God's grace or goodwill towards us is an inherent part of who God is. When we say God is gracious, we are saying that God's basic attitude toward us is infinite goodwill and benevolence, pouring out from God's heart like a stream of living water. God's grace means that not only is God especially fond of each one of us, but that God actively dreams of and yearns for good things for each one of us. Mercy is about how power is exercised in relationships. Mercy is about having the power to punish, the power to harm, and choosing not to. God's goodwill towards us motivates God to judge us and respond to us kindly, gently, tenderly, with clemency, leniency, and forbearance when God could do otherwise. Compassion literally means to suffer together with another. In ancient Hebrew thought, compassion emerges from the womb, from mother love and care. Compassion happens when one is moved to the depths of one's bowels by the suffering of another. It is a sentiment of the heart and the gut that seeks to embrace and empower the sufferer. God's compassion for us is most deeply expressed in the eternal divine Christ becoming flesh in the person of Jesus and taking up our humanity into God's very own self. Today's scriptures show us what these characteristics of God look like in action. Let's start with that reluctant prophet, Jonah. You know how the story goes. When God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, he responds by running in the opposite direction. When a storm arises that threatens to swamp the ship he is on, Jonah confesses that he is fleeing God's call and tells the sailors to throw him overboard. God sends a large fish to swallow Jonah and carry him back to land, where once again he hears the call to go to Nineveh. When he finally arrives, Jonah begins walking through the city shouting, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's the whole message, 8 words. By the end of the day, he's only gotten 1/3 of the way through the city. The residents proclaim a fast and put on sackcloth. The king hears the message, dons sackcloth and ashes, and decrees fasting and repentance for all the people and all the animals in the city. And God sees how these people turn from their evil ways and determines to save the city. Now, no prophet in the Hebrew Bible has ever accomplished his mission so quickly or so completely as Jonah. I mean, Jonah's mission is a spectacular success. But he's enraged, shouting at God, saying he'd rather be dead. And as the pouting prophet broods over the city, Jonah delights in the shade of this bush that grows nearby. But when it withers overnight, leaving him exposed to the hot sun and the scorching wind, he is once again angry enough to die. God tries to reason with Jonah. Jonah, you care about the bush, but you didn't labor for it and you didn't grow it. And should I not care about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left? And also many animals. God's call to Jonah is motivated by God's gracious goodwill toward and compassion for the inhabitants of Nineveh. God compassionately judges them to be a confused and befuddled people, not knowing their right hand from their left, and mercifully sends a prophet to warn them that the consequences of their actions are about to catch up with them. Yet Jonah wants no part of this mission and is enraged by its success. Why? Well, Nineveh was the capital city of his people's greatest enemies, the Assyrians, who utterly destroyed the northern kingdom and ruthlessly kept the southern kingdom under their thumb for almost a century. Jonah is outraged that God's grace and mercy includes his worst enemies. Jonah, who personally experienced God's deliverance from the sea and God's compassion in the bush, rejects the good news of who God is for others. Jonah's view of God's grace is tribal, limited to me and my kind of people, and definitely not for those people. Yet God continues to treat Jonah with grace, compassion, and mercy, persistently reaching out, trying to teach the pouting prophet that the God of Israel is also the Lord of the earth and the sea and all that dwell therein. In our gospel lesson, Jesus tries to teach a similar lesson about God's grace, mercy, and compassion by telling a story about a landowner who goes to the marketplace at 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 5 p.m. Each time he invites the unemployed to go to work in his vineyard. This is a parable that is rooted in the economic realities of life under Roman rule in Galilee. See, in the time of Jesus, unemployment and underemployment were rampant, as family farms were bought up by wealthy foreigners and city elites. Every day, in every village and in every town, landless peasants gathered in the marketplace, hoping to be hired as day laborers. Sometimes a job might only take an hour or two to complete, and the laborer would be back in the marketplace, hoping someone would hire them for a second or even a third job. The landowner in this story is highly unusual. Not only does he personally hire workers for his vineyard, he goes back to the marketplace no less than 5 times during the day, hiring all the unemployed workers he finds. He pays them all the same wage, 1 denarius, an amount that guarantees their families will be fed that night. And when those who worked all day grumble at being paid the same as those who worked only 1 hour, the landowner asks them, "Are you envious? Are you envious because I am generous?" This unusual landowner acts generously, motivated by compassion for the unemployed day laborers who otherwise would not be able to feed their families. He uses his power mercifully to make a positive difference in the lives of landless peasants. His actions demonstrate his goodwill toward all the inhabitants of the village, not just the lucky few who have jobs. The good news in these stories is that God is indeed gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, good to all, showing compassion for all, even when we are envious and resentful that the same benefits we enjoy and perhaps feel entitled to are given to our enemies or to our neighbors whom we judge less worthy. The challenge for us is to learn to see our neighbors, and yes, our enemies, as God sees them, with lenses that are tinted by goodwill, compassion, and mercy. Please pray with me. Jesus, your generosity is extravagant, your grace and mercy so freely given, your love and presence so readily available, your spirit and strength so reliable. But Jesus, we are also fearful that your gifts won't be enough, that things may change and we may find ourselves in need. So we hoard your goodness, begrudging the favor you show others. Forgive us for failing to understand that your blessings are meant to be shared. Help us to see our neighbors and our enemies as you see them, and inspire us to be gracious and merciful, slow to judge, and tender in compassion. Amen.